mature in our understanding. We're grateful. We're grateful for the revelatory life of your word. Thank you, because daily you load us with the benefits of your insight. Daily you load us with the benefits of your word. We ask and receive in every heart this morning that we are made much more productive in our walk with one another. We ask this morning that we will make progress in our opposition. Make progress in our understanding, and I will take advantage of that blessed gift of one another. We ask that in your word this morning, light shed upon every heart this morning, light upon every heart. Gray areas in every mind have light shed upon them. We ask this morning that areas that seems to be knotted together are straightened out by your word. Questions will be answered. Identity will be received, ministries will be strengthened, and our walk with you also be made better. We ask that this morning, over every experience, opinion, nuances, mindset, your word will gain ascendance, your word will be enthroned in our thoughts, in our lives, in our belief systems. This morning, revelation in every heart. And as we all see Jesus in the world, we'll see ourselves as the seed of the living. We ask this morning, Lord, that your church will be edified as your name is glorified. Receive this in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. The whole church says, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mr. Jim. Lord of life, holy I'm saying this because in the coming days, we are going to explore that reality. You see, you might not understand that statement, but I'll make the statement, and that you're going to understand it in the coming days. That is if you get better in the Lord. You're going to understand it. You see, songs. Are we together? Can I get more volume, please? Yeah. Songs belongs to the church. That's what I'll say. What did I say? Songs belong to where? The church. Songs belong to the church. Now I know we live in a world today and there's songs everywhere. There are songs in the world. There are songs in the world. I mean, hundreds of thousands of tracks and albums in the world. Not even Christian songs. I mean, songs are everywhere. Everywhere. Songs everywhere. Songs have been dated as far back as man occurs on the earth. You know? Some songs precede us. I mean, preceded our birth. I mean, I'm still singing it. Some of those old time hymns or hymnals. Some secular songs were being sung before you were born. You know, as we go on, we're going to explore that reality. That actually, songs is God's tool on the earth. And if it is God's tool, then it was handed to the church. Now, why church? As I said, we're going to explore it. Why do we say church? Why? What's so special about the church? We're going to explore it. But just keep that somewhere. That songs is meant for where? Notice I didn't say that songs is for when we are in church. I didn't say that. I said songs is given by God. The ability to sing. The fruit of songs, the purpose of singing is given by God to the churches of God. You're going to see why I said that in the coming days. Praise the Lord. I said, praise God. So welcome to church this morning. So you want to tell the person by you, you're welcome to service. The person next to your other side, say you're welcome to service. Some of you are not saying it. Say you're welcome to service. Hallelujah. Praise God. So are we ready for God's word? Are we ready for the word? Are we ready for the word? Alright. Thank you. I hope everyone here is in their Bibles. And what? I get responses. The Bible and what? I hope everyone is with their Bibles and what? If you are not with your Bible, can you wave your hand? You don't have a copy of a Bible, just signify. We're going to help you. We'll help you get a Bible. Oh, we have more Bibles. We've exhausted them. That means we need more Bibles. Alright. Alright. Oh, by the way, I made some pledge to some of us in church. I promise you Bibles. I'm going to remit it. Are we together? I remit this pledge. Yeah. One of my, what's it called, New Year resolution is to give out more Bibles this year personally than I did last year. So we'll give out more Bibles. I started January, I said, I'll give a Bible a week. Wow. I go to the bookshop, I was like, what the, you know, praise God. All right, so I'll give out more Bibles this year than I did last week. Sorry, last year. Amen. I gave out a couple of Bibles last year. Give out Bibles. And I'll do that again this year. More. Amen. All right, Matthew's Gospel is our text. And today we're concluding on our study on relationships. You know, we've been looking at walking with one another, and it's been quite a brief study. A brief study. We took it up, I think, from maybe September or October last year, and I taught it, and I've been teaching every Sunday and Thursday. We have how many teaching tracks on that subject? So today makes it a 21st session. All right, that's okay. That's actually, very brief. Amen. Alright. And so much for an introduction. And what we are doing is that we are simply just introducing the concept of relationships. We're looking at the concept of, you know, this is a marital relationship, so but it's okay. I mean, we're gonna talk about that also. Like I was talking to some of my guys yesterday, and your leaders, they are my guys. And then we're having a meeting. What time were we having a meeting yesterday? The meeting was at what time? Around 12 a.m. Alright, so we're just having a meeting and all that. So I was mentioning how that, yeah, it's just an introduction, and then I have a plan. We have a custom to, we talk about every aspect of the faith in and out of every teaching. I mean, before we are done with the teaching, especially when we have to talk about a concept for a week or two or three, the moment a teaching is spanning into 2 weeks, three services, the same teaching, it's almost not far-fetched that we would have mentioned something about different aspects of the Christian life. But it's our custom that anytime we visit a particular aspect to teach on it, we start by doing an introduction. We'll look at the basics of that particular area or concept. And in this case, we'll be looking at relationships, working with one another. How should a Christian see associations and relationships with other human beings? Are we together? How should a Christian, you know, treat other human beings? How do we see one another? You know, that's what we have been doing. And then we've had quite some conversations around that. And I'll conclude on that this morning. Praise God. And as from Thursday, we're going to pick up an emphasis that prepares us for our camp meeting. I'm not going to talk about the camp meeting this morning. I'm going to talk about the camp meeting maybe on Thursday or on Sunday. Our camp meeting is around the corner. Praise God. All right. And we trust God for great fruits of the meeting. So more details about that and then registration and all of that will definitely be communicated to us in the week. Amen. Matthew's Gospel. I have a very short time this morning. Excuse me. Matthew 28 is my text. In verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Who are the them? His disciples, of course. In verse 16, it says in 17, they saw him, they worshipped him, some doubted, so he spoke unto them. So he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So sorry, it says 18, all authority, the word power them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them with water. No, he didn't say that. He says, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Is it wrong to baptize with water? I've not said it is wrong. It is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, so quickly, what have we said? We've said that when Jesus says to go and make disciples, to make a disciple means or implies to communicate God's perspective to life and living, and to help others both to see it and to walk in it. Discipleship is not complete when people are not walking in the Word of God. Are we together? Are we together? Discipleship is not complete when people are not walking in the light of the Word. The light of the Word. Praise God. So, discipleship is communicating God's way of seeing things by the Word of God. By the Word of God. You cannot disciple people properly outside the Word of God. So you communicate God's perspective, and then we inspire and walk with others or help others to walk in it, to live by it. Praise God. So we said that means there's a way to see things. And then when it comes to relating with one another, there's a way to see it. It starts with how you see it. You must ask a man, how do you see women? As a brother, how do you see a sister? I told us a couple of weeks ago, Romans chapter 12 verse 2, Paul says, be not conformed to this world. And then when he says to this world, he says this world. Yeah, he's talking about his age. But when we are reading the text, it also has to do with our age. So when it says, be not conformed to this world, it means don't be conformed to this present age. So there are things in our world that the previous world or the generation, you know, might not immediately relate with. Every generation has its uniqueness. There is that which characterizes each world. There's a wisdom and intelligence behind each world. So Paul says this present world, you know, and I explain our text to us. You know, Paul was saying that don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. That means when Christians are not careful, they will become like the world. Are we together? But the Bible is very clear that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Say, I'm in the world. Or are you not? Say, I'm in the world. Say, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Say, I'm in the world, but I'm not of this world. Say, I'm in the world. I'm not of this world. Say it again. Say, I am in the world. I am not of this world. So look at that. So Paul says in Romans 12 verse 2, don't let this world squeeze you into its form. So when Christians are not careful, after a while, you will notice the difference between the saved and the unsaved. But that is not God's plan. There's a difference between light and darkness. No way to go. Say, I'm light. Yeah. Amen. You are light. Glory to God forevermore. You are light. See, I'm light. Light is healing. See, I'm healing. See, I am healing. Yeah. You are not a chaos. You are not a disease. I am healing. Light is order. Are we together? So I am order. I'm not disorder. Very few people are saying it. I am not disorder. You know, I didn't say that, you know, you could say, I'm not disorderly. But I said, I am not disorder. That means, when I get into the midst of people, I am not a disorder. I don't bring disorderliness. I don't ruin lives. Light is clarity. I am clarity. I'm clarity. So, people know. People who are confused. Sometimes they're Christians. Immediately, they come around me. They are no more confused. Not just because of what I say, but the way I live. Did you see that? No confusion. Are we together? No confusion. For example, being in church this morning has given direction to certain other people, whether they are in church too or not. The fact that you get up on Sunday morning and you go to church is clarity to some people. A Christian goes to church on Sunday morning. That's it. That action on its own is already clarity. A Christian don't steal. A Christian don't steal. A Christian does not do yahoo yahoo. Yahoo yahoo. Benefit boys. Those are not Christians. Christians don't do that. They don't. Christians are led of the Spirit of God. Are we together? Are we together? Say, I am led. My life is orderly. Glory to God forevermore. I say, glory to God forevermore. So that's who you are. Look at Ephesians 5. Everyone. Open your Bibles. Is there a Bible there? Yes. Open it. Ensure you assist one another in opening Bibles. Ensure. Assist one another in opening Bibles. Ephesians 5. I'm looking at you. Ephesians chapter 5. If you are there, say amen. Amen. If you are not there, you say, oh me. All right, wait for the oh me's. I'm one of them. Ephesians 5. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. We're going to read verse 6, everybody. Verse 6. Are you there now? We're going to read out loud and boldly. Once you go, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of this cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. See, I'm not a child of disobedience. Verse 7. Once you go, be not therefore partakers with them. It says, for you were sometimes, that says sometimes. He said, you were. He didn't say, no, he didn't say you are sometimes. He didn't have completely different. He says, you are sometimes. He says, you were. That means you are no more. Look at what it says. Look at verse 8 again. Once you go, for you were sometimes darkness. Now, if you personalize that, what will it be? Will it be I were? I was, right? All right. So I was, isn't it? Isn't it? Is that past tense? Is that a present time reality or a past tense? In the past. Hallelujah. Are we together? You know, there's this one that says, no, no. I shall never go back. No, right? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. No, right? That's it. It's too, what am I looking for? What are that? Where am I going to? They say, no, no. Are we together? Someone say, no, no.
No, no.
That's it. You are alive. Look at that text again. Verse 8. Once you go, for you were sometimes darkness. But now, someone say now.
Now.
Someone say now.
Now.
Someone say today, in 2026, today, now, what does he say? Are you light in the Lord? Then he says what? Walk as the children of light. Did you see that? So my walk is not what makes me light. I'm already light. That is the Christian identity. What is light? Direction. Light is clarity. Light is hope. Hope. Praise God. Light is hope. Light is hope. Light is joy. Because when there is direction, light empowers you. So he says, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord? Are we together? Wait for a teaching, the Christian identity. Are we together? That's who we are. So look at this. We get in our relationships, we are light. We are light. In Matthew's gospel, quickly, in Matthew 18, we'll find Jesus talking about relationships. He says in verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, thou hast gained thy brother. Why will I go to him false? Because I am light. Are we together? Light goes after darkness. Is it clear? Because I am light. He says, I go first. So we said, the believer takes initiative in reconciliation. The Christian. Forgiveness, love, and reconciliation is Christian initiative. It doesn't mean that you're weak when you say sorry first. That is the Christian. It doesn't mean you're weak when you go after reconciliation. It doesn't mean you're weak when you stay out of trouble. It doesn't mean you are weak when you don't beef people. It doesn't mean you are weak when you forgive. It doesn't mean you are weak when you love. It simply means you have the Spirit of God. And you know what you have. Hallelujah forevermore. See, I've got the Spirit of God. See, down in my heart, there is the nature of the Father. Down in my heart, there is the Spirit of the Lord. Say, God's love is shed abroad in my heart. I love. So look at this. It says to go to him. If he will not hear you, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if you neglect to hear them, tell to the church. If they neglect to hear the church, let them be to thee as the healing and the public. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound, never whosoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be losing them. It is again, I say unto you, two of you shall agree on earth, as such in anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we said Jesus is in the midst of reconciliation. Wherever two or three people are gathered, he's talking about reconciliation. He says, I am there. He says, I am there. Hallelujah. In Matthew 19, they brought an issue to him. Divorce. They brought an issue of divorce to Jesus. And he answers them. He says, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And they said to him, why then did Moses command us with the writing of the divorcement to put away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning, hallelujah, in the image of God, it is not so. Hallelujah. So we went into the image of God, and we saw that the image of God today refers to the body of Christ. We saw that, right? The image of God today speaks of the Christian. The Christian. The Christian. So we said, in every relationship, I bear the image of God. Hallelujah. In every relationship, I bear the image of God. In every relationship. We saw in scripture, the image of God is the father, right? Is the mother. The image of God is the brother, elder sibling, younger sibling. The image of God is an uncle, an auntie. The image of God is a neighbor. The image of God is an employer, employee. The image of God is a citizen. So I bear that image. Don't forget Exodus 20, verse 7. It says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I told you, taking the name of the Lord in vain is not saying Jesus or Olongbo. No. It means to not function in your Christian identity. We saw that for about 5 weeks. I was explaining the text. It means to not function in your Christian identity. What is the Christian identity? We are priests, right? We are prophets, right? And we are what? Kings. That's the Christian identity. Kings, priests, and prophets in the world. Glory to God forevermore. So I conclude my thoughts this morning. I said, our culture is the word of God in our relationships. In our relationships, we have been called of God to do the word. I do the word. I do the word. Hallelujah. We said part of doing the word is honoring relationships, right? Right? Okay, we said that God's holiness is to do what? Is to do what? The work, yes. We said that God describes people from where? Huh? His word. So we said that God does not use Twitter to describe people. Do you remember? You and I are the ones that go to Twitter. We go to X. Then we do a hashtag. Then we say all manner of thoughts about people. Then you retweet. You love. Sometimes you even bookmark. Are we together? Are we together? Or Instagram. Or Facebook blogs. God doesn't use social media to describe people. He describes people using his words. The word of God. So one of the things that we must do is that as we walk with God, we must let his word show us who people are. We must let his word. We must let his word show us who people are. I know that, you know, there are times when people can betray your trust. You know, I've suffered betrayals many times in my small life. And sometimes I know how it feels when somebody you trust in an area just betrays your trust. Sometimes people go to do exactly opposite what you would have loved them to do. And, you know, that happens. But look at this. If we are going to be Christians, we are not going to describe people after their faults. People's faults and failures don't tell us who they are. God does. The word of God tells us who people are. Are we together? Are we together? The word of God. The word of God. The word of God. You know, Some people like to be forgiven. They don't like to forgive others. I'm not like that. The Word of God describes who people are. Are we together? Like, we said that, you know, you bear the image of God, right? Do you remember the text? You bear the image of God. We said it has to do with functioning in my Christian identity. So we said that, it means that I don't live, I don't take my identity from the world. We also said that we don't take our identity from our cultures, as beautiful as human cultures are. I mean, I've come across some very great and excellent cultures, like Yoruba culture. One of the very beautiful cultures in the world today. I'm not Yoruba. Are we together? But, I mean, give it to them. Amen. Are we together? So, now I know that. Now, human cultures, we have a lot of inadequacies. A lot. I mean, a lot of it. All right. So, but I'm saying that we don't take our identity from our culture. We take our identity from the Word of God. The Word of God tells us how to behave. In 1 Peter 1:23, it says you are born of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. In James 1:18, it is of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So we are products of the Word of God, as in the new birth. Our conducts also are products of the Word of God. It says, you are light. It says, walk therefore as what? Children of light. Hallelujah. Now the word children there is not talking about age. It's talking about being products of light. So you say, I'm an adult of light. We are children of light. So look at that. We don't take our culture from the world. I say it again. We don't take our culture from the world. You go into the world and say, oh, that currently we're in the Gen Z generation, right? And I told someone, I said, no. You are not Gen Z. You are a royal generation. That's what 1 Peter 2:9 says. Are we together? There's nothing wrong in, I mean, socializing and recognizing peculiarities of each generation, but we don't give tags for bad behavior. No. So, I'm Gen Z, so I can be rude to anybody. No. You are badly raised. It's not a Gen Z thing. You are just badly raised. So we take our culture not from our world, but from the Word of God. How do I know how to behave in my relationships? The Word of God. How do I know how to behave in my marriage? The Word of God. How do I know how to handle issues, behave on campus? The Word of God. How do I know how to behave in my workplace? The Word of God. Neighborhood, the Word of God. How do I know how to relate with my parents and elderly ones? The Word of God. Are we together? Why? Because that is our identity. The Word of God. The Word of God is my identity. Praise God forevermore. So I carry the image of God in my friendships, my spousal relationships, that's marriage, family relationships, neighbors. I am God's image. Someone say, I am God's image. You are God's image. You are God's Sabbath. You are God's image. In my conduct, in my associations, the Word of God is my culture. Glory to God. Don't forget what we saw in Exodus chapter 20 also. right from verse 1, I am the one who brought you out of Egypt. Talking about, you know, salvation. That explains or prefigures salvation. Then the next thing after salvation, it says, thou shalt not have any other God. Then it says, thou shalt not make any graven image. Then it says, thou shalt not bow to it. Are we together? So he talks about devotion. We saw it right from verse 2, 3, 4, 5. Verse 6 and 7 talks about taking the name of the Lord in vain. Then 8 and 9, it talks about the Sabbath. It says hallowing the Sabbath, treating the Sabbath as holy. And then the next thing it says, thou shalt honor thy father and what? Your mother. And I told you that there's something unique about that instruction. And you might not know. You would not know that there's something unique about the instruction until you observe that the generation that Moses was talking to was living in a world where women were treated as second-class citizens. Women were not usually regarded. Are we together? Women were not usually regarded. In fact, you see that a lot in the genealogies. Why were women not mentioned? Why would you say, and this begat? Is it the man that gave birth? Yeah, we're focusing on genealogy. Yeah, there's a very definite thing that Moses was doing there. Moses was focusing on God's prophet. But I mean, in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, it was almost silent about the woman. Yeah, I know there was a mention of Eve, but sometimes you wonder, how did these men, you know, procreate? Why were women not mentioned? Definitely there were women in Genesis, but why was it not mentioned? Are we together? Not just that. If you look at the world of Moses, the same thing. In Egypt, you hardly see the mention of women. And there were women there. It was because that entire world was patriarchal in their mindset. Now, the opposite of that we have today is a feminist society or feminism. And I told you that both patriarchy and feminism are two sides of the bad coin. It's not the image of God. Because in the image of God, no gender is superior to another. None. I don't care what you think about it. It's God's word. It's God's word. No gender is what? Superior. And none is what? Inferior. Adam, functioning as God's prophet, saw in a vision that the woman will be the equal size of the tabernacle of God. The equal size. So when Moses wrote, it says male and female created them in the image of God. So we said there is a way God sees women that the world has to adjust and see women that way. If the world does not adjust to see women the way God sees them, we will not have God's plan. There is a way to see men. There's a way God sees humanity. Humanity. Part of that, you know, with that God brings out Israel. Israel will now be a model of how humanity should be like. So he says, I am the one that brought you forth. Thou shalt have no other God besides me. That means God did not create humanity to worship lesser gods. When humanity does not see, you know, itself or themselves that way, we will not have the plan of God. So you have religions of idol worship. Praise God forevermore. So the image of God gives answer to the chaos in human relationships. The image of God. He provides God's answer to chaos in human living, human existence. That is why we must preach the gospel everywhere. Is it clear? Is it clear? That's why we must what? Preach the gospel. Look at me. I know sometimes we're quick to say, oh, what's happening to politics? Sometimes we even blame our leaders. We say, oh, that fellow we voted for is doing nonsense. What about that one? We talk about African leaders. We talk about world politics and all that. We complain. But let me tell you the truth. Nigeria will never change. What did I say? This nation will never change and get better until we do what? We preach the gospel the more. The power to shift perception and to heal humanity of selfishness is in the gospel. Nothing wrong with human reforms. Nothing wrong with societal reforms. Nothing wrong with organizations, NGOs, all of these. There's nothing wrong in them. At best, man will try to resolve the issue. But see, the problem of humanity is in his heart. He's in the heart. The problem of man is where? The problem of man is closer to him than his clothes. He's in his heart. Rebellion. Stubbornness. Knowing the right thing to do and choosing not to do it is in his heart. Are we together? And God has given us the tool to cause that change. How? Teaching and preaching the word of God one man at a time. Are you saying that, okay, what other solutions? There is no other solution anywhere. You know, we can set up, we can review the constitution, we can review laws and policies, we can strengthen the judiciary, inspire the law enforcement, you know, to hold people accountable. But hey, let me tell you the truth. The challenge, the beast is still in the heart of men. It is the gospel, the word of God taught, that takes it away. It's the gospel. It's the word of God. 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 It's the word of God that will heal man of selfishness. Praise God. Praise God. Selfishness, rebellion, hatred. When you say racism, if you like, set up laws that stops a particular person from moving on, visiting another person with evil. Racism is in the heart. It is the gospel that shows God's plan of one nation and no stigmatization. The gospel. It starts by getting man born again and reorientating him. So our world will be healed as more men take up the what? The image of God as the identity. That's why whatever you're doing with your life, it's okay so far it's legitimate. I mean, you're in the medical niche of career, you are in the engineering, you are in the tech, maybe you are in the law enforcement, sociological sciences, anthropological sciences, sociological, whatever it is, it's fine. But hey, you must bear in mind that you have a duty to preach the gospel. Every one of us. Every one of us has the duty of preaching the gospel. You are in the market, we have a duty. I mean, you're a trader, that's what I mean. If you're a trader, you sell and buy in the market. And I'm not talking about preaching while you are selling. Mm-mm. I'm talking about the lifestyle of communicating the gospel through preaching. It's a lifelong thing. We all have that duty. We all do. Praise God. So looking at our relationships,
in my relationships, God wants me to bear His image. So we said, in bearing the image of God, we are going to honor relationships. Is that true? Can I get responses? We are going to honor what? Relationships. Look at what Moses said. Or Jesus rather. Jesus said that the reason for the bill of divorce is because of the hardness of your heart. In other words, God permitted it, but it wasn't His will. So there are a lot of things on the earth today that God permits, but that is not His will. I know some people say things like, if God does not will it will not happen. That's not true. People go to hell. Are we together? And God doesn't will it, but it happens. So quit that theology. Quit that mindset that says, if God doesn't will it will not happen. That's one of the most weakest statements on the earth today. If God doesn't will it will not happen. Who told you? God clearly said, I hate putting away. But man put away their wives. Are we together? So the world will become God's earth as we take up His image. The world becomes God's earth as we take up the image of God. The image of God. So we don't do what God permits. We say that as Christians, we do what is in His will. I find out His will and I do His plan. I do His will. In Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4 in verse 11. He says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. For Thy pleasure. The word pleasure there is the word in the Greek, the word telema. Now you find the same word telema used by Paul in the Romans 2 text that I quoted earlier. Romans 12, verse 2 text. It says, Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Pleasure of God. The word telema. That word also occurs in chapter 15 and then in verse 32. He says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. So it has to do with what God has designed. The will of God implies God's design. God's design. We'll find it in chapter 1 also. Romans 1 and then in verse 10. Making the quest, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God. God's design. This is the will of God. In Romans chapter 2 and then in verse 18, it says, And knoweth his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. The will of God, which has to do with God's design, God's purpose. So it says, man was created for the purposes of God. It's good to close this teaching, emphasis. It's good to close this conversation with the thought that man was created to serve God's pleasure. You see, you were not created to do your own will. You weren't created. You were not created to satisfy your own needs and your desires. God created humanity to serve His will. Anything outside that is outright rebellion and disobedience. Actually, it is idol worship. Because another thing that the Bible teaches as idol worship is the worship of self. Doing what I want, irrespective of what God wants, is idol worship. See, I don't worship idols. Are we together? In my relationship, I carry out the image of God. My relationships is not a ground to manifest my culture. Nothing wrong with culture if it doesn't stand against God's word. My relationships is not a ground to manifest my wealth. My relationship is not a ground to demonstrate my societal, you know, status. My relationship is not a ground to show I am learned or non-learned, literate or non-literate. My relationship is a ground to demonstrate the image of God. We said in the image of God, we will see love and honor. In the image of God, we will reflect the Father. We will reflect the Father. Are we together? In the image of God, we will demonstrate the character of God. As siblings, as parents, as pastors, as leaders, as bosses at work. Are we together? I love men. I walk in love. If you look at the Luke 10 text, when Jesus spoke a parable, he spoke a parable to answer the question, who is my neighbor? We see a lesson there. That your neighbor is somebody who needs your help or assistance. Your neighbor is anybody you can assist. If I let's look at that parable quickly, or that story rather, that story in Luke chapter 10 quickly. Quickly, Luke 10. Let's open there quickly. Luke chapter 10. In Luke 10, verse 29. Now he said, if you look at verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering him said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, stripped him of his garment and wounded him and departed, leaving him up dead. That means he was unconscious, you know, on life support. He says 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Are we together? So look at this, his vehicle, his time, his money, his attention, his resources. Your neighbor, your time, your resources, your vehicle, your accommodation. Are we together? Your neighbor. So look at everybody. Don't love things and use people. Use things and love people. Are we together? So look at what it says. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou shalt spend more, thou spendest more. When I come again, I will repay. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, do thou likewise. Are we together? Who is my neighbor? Anybody. A church member, non-church member. A church member, a non-church member. A Christian, non-Christian alike. Are we together? Anyone who is in the capacity to receive of my benevolence. is my neighbor. Is my neighbor. Anyone that what I possess or have can do good to, can be of a blessing to, is what? Is what? My neighbor. Are we together? So look at this. Jesus gave that particular story in response to love thy neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, here sometimes people say things like, oh, I love my neighbor as myself. So it says, love my neighbor as myself. Then it says, as myself. As myself. So, that means I need to love myself. That means, okay, as myself. Love my neighbor as myself. That means I come first. You are drunk. I should add very, very drunk. You are dishonest in handling scriptures. When it is love your neighbor as yourself, he was showing you, look at this, that between you and that fellow, there's no difference. There's no difference. There's no difference. Love your neighbor as yourself is to show you that there's no difference. You're not different. Are we together? The only difference between you and maybe an unsaved person is that you have received salvation. So Paul said, you who were sometimes what? Darkness. You who were sometimes what? Darkness. He says you were sometimes darkness. He says now you are light in the Lord. So there's really no difference except that he has transcended you into his kingdom of his son. Now, you know, that doesn't mean, oh, there's no difference between me and that drunkard. I should also taste one bottle. No. Don't be stupid. Praise God. See, I'm an object of God's grace. So is our relationship tied to our worship of God? Up is our worship of God expressed in how we undo and treat one another? Can I get responses? Thank you. So the epistles, like we said, teach us how to bear that name in our relationships. The epistles, they teach us how to handle our relationships. The epistles teach us how to bear the image. How to bear the image. Are we together? Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. How to bear the image. So when you are reading the epistles, Romans to Jude, Revelation 1 and 2, you are reading how to what? Bear the image. Don't forget that the epistles were written to people on how to relate with what? One another. So the epistles are a relational text. You cannot read the epistles and you are not in the church. It's not possible. It's not possible. The instructions written in the epistles are to be carried out amongst a congregation. That's why I told you that when you are reading the epistles and you come across the word you, it's not referring to you. If I write a text to a people and I say you, am I talking to an individual person? No. Did you get it? If I write to, let's say we have, how many people in this column? Well, about 30 people here. If I write to this column or this section of seats, I write to you and I address as you. Am I talking to a particular individual? Or am I addressing this congregation? The congregation. So when you read Christ in you, the hope of glory, talking to
a Christian or the assembly?
The assembly.
You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. A Christian or the assembly?
The assembly.
Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? A Christian or the assembly?
The assembly.
One man is never called temple. So imagine you are reading the text. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost and you don't belong to a church. You're already off it. Because the person that wrote the letter already assumes that every reader has a commitment to the assembly. That's why you can't be a Christian. You can never practice Christianity in isolation. You can't. I didn't say don't practice Christianity in isolation. I said it is not possible. You can't. Christianity is a church thing. Don't say, we left church, not God. Where do you get all of those things from? We left church, not God. And that makes sense to your brain? No. You shouldn't raise a child with the same brain. You shouldn't. Are we together? Say, we left church, not God. What does that mean? What does that mean? We left church, not God. What does it mean? So what does it mean? We left church, not God. What does it mean? If you are in God's plan, you are in the churches. Is it clear? Is it clear? You don't want to be in that church? You must be found in one, in another. It's not an advice. Is a command of the Lord to be in the family. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So look at this. I said the epistles, they show us how to apply, how to function in the image of God. In our academic vocations, students, career vocations, marriages, the epistles show us. Business, citizenship, are we together? So look, listen to the following. I'll just go over my notes at a glance and then I'll close the session. So I'm getting instruction now, but look at this. Just listen and maybe write. Okay. I'll say something that I said before, and then I'll give you the application. I said, recall that as a citizen, I've said this before, they took Jesus before the officials. Jesus. They took him before the officials. Pilate was there. Caiaphas, the high priest, was there. You know, what's his name now? Politicians that was around there? Is that Pilate? Yeah, that was Pilate. So we have Pilate. Was his wife also there? Right? Pilate's wife was also there. Thank you. So look at this. They took Jesus before the officials. And I told you, they found nothing wrong in him. Nothing. They wanted to crucify him. Jesus. They wanted to crucify him. They found what? They found what? Nothing. Look at it. They found nothing on his Twitter. Nothing. Check through his Instagram, his Facebook posts, his comments on blogs. Nothing. They had nothing that they could use against him. He said nothing. I told you last week, today, it's very common to see a preacher come on pulpit and grab a mic. And then you have a crowd. And then you begin to speak ill of the government. This is not an advocacy for a government. But see, the word of God instructs us on what we see about our political leaders. You are a Christian. And I don't care what you think. I care what God's word says. Jesus was one under a reign. Now, around Jesus, when he was on the earth, I mean in the four Gospels, Israel was under tyranny of the Roman government. Something I can call, I mean, they were colonized. So it wasn't a government that liked Jesus. And it was not even a government that Jesus liked. It didn't look like Jesus loved. It wasn't lobbying about. So the government didn't like Jesus. I'm sure Jesus didn't like the government. Are we together? But they found nothing in his words. And he did the work of the ministry. Can you do the work of the ministry in a nation for 40, 50 years and you did not speak against the government? And it does not mean that the government is always right. It's simply because you would rather act on God's word. Act on God's word. Because if care is not taken, many times, because some of these preachers are also, you know, people that people revile a lot. So before you know it, everybody's just, you just allow it to say, but that is not the word. Even grab a mic and say all sorts of words about the person sitting in office. The Bible has an instruction about how we address political leaders. And the scripture is very smart and intelligent to know that many of those guys are not godly. But there is a Christian approach to handling the issue. Rather than inciting the masses in wrath and unruliness as public figures or symbols of authority. Are we together? Are we together? Look at this. The Bible says that the presidency was an institution of God. I didn't say God put the president there. I said the presidency. That office of rulership, order. Then someone come and said, but Isaiah spoke against the king of Israel. Are you Isaiah? Are you Isaiah? But Prophet Samuel also rose up and spoke against the king. Are you Samuel? That's one. Two, does Nigeria look like Israel? Something is Bible illiteracy. The Israel you have there was not a democratic setting. So when they pick you and they behead you, you say it's persecution. You were stupid. That was not democracy. The nation of Israel was a nation established by God. God himself put the king there as his image. And in appointing the king, he used some other offices like the priests and the prophets in the land to appoint. So when he's erring, they go to him to set him alight. That is not Nigeria. That's not a democratic setting. In democracy, everybody come alive, including the unsaved, to elect. Are we together? Are you listening to me, church? Are you listening to me, church? In a democratic setting, Israel practiced a one religion nation. Today, the worlds of the earth are not. The nations of the earth are not. So you are not in Bible days. The context has changed. So you cannot say because Isaiah got up and said this, you two, you will pick your phone and your mic and on camera, then he say that on public. No. As a religious leader, there is a way to undo public crisis. After some of these, that was this NSAS, whatever that had happened, and then some the role that some church leaders had played. And so the matter is that the churches are still suffering from the roles that many of those religious leaders played. And I saw the smart religious leaders. And I was like, well, who am I? I'm very young. I started ministry yesterday, you know. So, but I mean, I just looked around and said, can't you look at the person you claim you are following? The Baba is quiet. That's a father. You are just gallivanting about. The person you claim you are following, that you submit your ministry to, is quiet. And the fact that he's quiet does not mean he's not making more moves than you. But these men have learned the wisdom of fatherhood. Go to meet those people and have conversation. Some of them summon these world leaders or national leaders. Some of these, are old, aged preachers. They summon them, come here, what's happening? And then pray with them and pray for them. Some of them, they go to them for counsel. You just had a meeting. Why can't you be calm and take the Jesus example? Nigeria is not Israel is not Nigeria. Are we together? You observe that even those of them that were very vocal many, many years ago, today they have been quiet, because now it dawns on them how leadership really is. Sometimes until you take the office of a leader, you don't know how it is. You talk anyhow until you are made a WhatsApp admin. And you're like, hey? You are complaining that somebody has not been able to, set the sail of a nation well. You cannot manage that WhatsApp group well. If a class left, you know what I'm talking about. Are we together? There's sometimes even in church. They say, why is this? Don't worry. By the time we give you that rule, we will listen to you again. We'll come back to you after 2 years and hear what you have to say. Say, all of this, that. This is not fair. This, okay. Why can the chair be dirty on Sunday morning? Oh, what kind of church is this? Oh, I don't even like. Okay, don't worry. Join the ushering team. Are we together? It is easy to cast stones when you are not the one washing people's feet. Are we together? A Christian. The Jesus example. Give me some 20-30 minutes, I'll close. The Jesus what? Example. The image of God. They took him before the elders, the political leaders, and they found nothing. And Jesus didn't settle them. I told you, it wasn't like Jesus went and said to them, Peter, no, don't transfer, use crypto. They will not know. No, he didn't. He wasn't found with a guilt. The Bible said no guile was found in his what? In his mouth. Even though the government was corrupt, the government was tyrannic, no guilt was found in Jesus' mouth. And he did the work of the ministry well. How about that? That's food for thought. It shows you that Jesus was a good citizen. So, he mirrors or models the image of God as a citizen. Citizen. Today what happens? You just tweet something. I was telling some people some weeks ago about this new tax thing, right? This new tax. It's very information planner. By the time I was done with the conversation, people were like, how come? The people that are responsible for your lamentations, because every one of us have books of lamentation that we have written. The people that are responsible for your lamentations are not even on the media. I have to show them and say, this is not what God is saying. Hey, so where did you not get it? I should ask you. You that I'm talking to, you are the one I should ask, where did you get that particular information from? That was what that. So what then do we do? Calm down. If you want to get accurate information about the state of the nation, there is a way to go about information. You don't sit at the news feed of your Facebook post and Instagram and what now? Twitter and TikTok and claim to have the good information about the nation. No, you won't. You will not. First of all, what God is doing is not in the media. What God is doing is not, write that down. What God is doing is not present where? In the media. God does not use the media. What God is doing is in the churches. So what gets into the media in the midst of what God is doing is what churches what put there. But the media is not a platform to know what God is doing. That platform today has become a pastor for so many Christians. You now wonder why in your home you have severe lack. That is what you believe. That's why in church like this, we come to see and hear and know what God is what doing. In Jerusalem, right there in Bethlehem of Judea. You see, silent, because God walks behind the scene. Nationally, what would have been on Twitter or on YouTube, CNN, everywhere, was that, Caesar Augustus has said everybody should return to their what? Hometown for what? For Caesar. But right there, behind the scene, a Savior was born. That one is not in the media. The media cannot tell you what God is doing. Feed on it without caution at your own peril. That's why you observe that you are just angry. An average Nigerian is angry. And you wonder, why are you angry? They don't know why. They're just angry. An average Nigerian is just angry and trying to play smart. Anybody just cut your corner. Oh, look. No, nothing. If you need help, they will not help you. Why? Because they've seen on the social media. Has it happened to you? Has it happened to you? You are just angry. Angry. You get to some of you are angry. People believe that there is no job in the nation, and it is not true. It is not true. As long as someone's on this, there are tons and tons and tons of jobs. But because your focus is on the media, you will not be insightful as searching what to do to land any. You have the experiences of the masses since they pastor you. People believe there's no money in the country. People believe there's no money in the country. But there is a whole lot of money. Even in this city where we are, there is a whole lot of money. Just go and check. Go to a major road and check the class of vehicles that pass. You see that there's money. Just check the kind of vehicles that pass. You see Cadillac. You see this. You see, see that day I saw a Bentley. I was like, as I was driving, I turned back, I followed it. That's what I said. I said, I didn't know it come out of my mouth. I said, I saw the car. For it to come and move on the third road that, Abdul Rahman just did. don't leave this city small. Go and check. Why are all the companies coming to Ilorin? Why are all of them coming? They want to have branches around. Why are they coming? Because it's a central hub that enters into the north. They will tell you that in the north there is a kidnapping, there is banditry, there is this. Don't go to the north. Not knowing that over 70% of the wealth of Nigeria is in the north. No, you go and check internet and go away from Facebook and check correct internet. It's in the north. It's in the north. There's wealth in the nation. So the program, the average mind of a Nigerian to japa, the way you japa that. There's nothing wrong in relocating. Are we together? If you have a plan and a structure and everything, there are different reasons why people relocate. Academics, health, livelihood, family, just switch of environment, a new start, whatsoever. But I mean, the escape from poverty is a stupid reason to move. Kenedegi said, you can be sure that 90% of commercial-based decisions are not usually God's plan. They are led by money. Be led of God. Say, I'm led of God. That's it. Nothing wrong in traveling, but see, God's blessing can be where you are. Are we together? But you see, it's all in the news. All over the media, the blogs. And it's so strong these days that if you don't go to a blog, the blog will come to you. Facebook will bring it to you. Call it algorithm, right? You must be cautious. There are some blogs, you block it. Don't just say, I eat all from. Block. Now, it will tell you, interested, not interested. Times, don't keep times, not interested. That's the algorithm will reset his brain and look at you again. And look at your phone again. Say, this message, you know they come here. Good. I'm a man of faith. Is it clear? You fill your heart with what? With faith. There are still problems in the country that needs to be what? Solved. There are still ideas that can resolve those problems. I'm sure as I'm talking this morning, there are a lot of people here who will still resolve issues in the food industry. As I'm talking right now. Are we together? In the tech industry. Is it clear?
Yes, sir.
So you don't let the media get into your brain, your mind, and begin to work itself. No. I'm a good citizen. A Christian. A good citizen. So look at this. You are a Nigerian or an African. Your citizenship. Are we together? In your citizenship, you bear the image of God. The image of God does not bear what? False what? Witness. False witness. So person has done this again. False witness. Someone say, I know this person. He did not go to school. He stole certificate and you believe it. You agree. Is that the person stole certificate? He stole certificate. See, for you, that is bearing what? It's a sin against God. It's a sin against God. But are we sure he didn't steal it? What's your business? Are we together? These people are reading this. You have not managed your own business well. All of these corrupt people, they are eating our money. You too, you are no different. When we come into your business account, it looks like a crime scene. Or why are you buying shoe polish from a company account? It's the same thing. You are bent of a feather. Zobo from Ilyasu and Co. Limited. Is he a stock? No. Have you said any Zobo? No. He said you sell footwear. How are you? Why are you transferring money from there to one Alago? It is the part of it. Mismanagement. Fix the whatever in your eyes before the whatever in your neighbor's. Is it clear? You don't get what I'm saying? Well, everybody is guilty. Be guiltless. Amen. Are we together? A good citizen. In your family, a good citizen. Are we together? God's word shows us, I put it in my notes, God's word contains instructions about family, yes or no? Huh? Does God's word contain instructions about careers? Does God's word contain instruction about church association and relationships, neighborhood, about marriage, in the world, your dealings with the world? Look at this. It shows you that if you see a particular relationship being addressed in God's word, it means that it matters. It matters. Because if they didn't matter, you will not be instructed in God's word about those relationships. It matters. If you see how to handle marital relationships in God's word, it means marital relationships matters to God. Employment, it matters to God. So we said you must pray for them. Are we together? In 1 Timothy 2, it says to pray for all men. He even said men that are in authority. Men that are in authority. See, I'm a Christian. It says to pray. Pray for men in authority. Let me ask you a question. When did you pray for President Bola Tinubu? I didn't say pray about him. You know there are two different things. You can pray about something. Remove me. And we know how to pray those prayers. Move. Until we don't know what we are saying again. And then you 30 minutes. Everybody, see, tell me. Except God is any wicked, how will he know answer it? You have forced him. 500 people. Even the angels will be like, Baba, I will not go after this one. Someone read the text that says, pray for them that despitefully use you. The person said, he didn't give us prayer points. Abba. Tori go ve shekwe. In the name of Jesus. Abba, bro. He already said, bless them that curse you. Can you stand before Jesus and say, Jesus said, on so-so day, you were cursing so-so person. Why? He said he did this and that. But I said he should pray for air. So you didn't give us prayer point now. Which you must prayer for now. Can you stand before Jesus and say that? Did Jesus mirror it? You know, when he was being nailed and he says, forgive them, did he include the high priest? Was it just those who were nailing him? No. Paul later said the princes of this world did not know. So the men in power, his prayer was not even for the soldiers. His prayer was not for the soldiers. His prayer was for those that gave the instructions the soldiers are following. Is it possible, or is it just because he is Jesus, we now see the man's TV? He now did the same thing. That means there is a place this love can enter in your heart. It will produce results. There is a place. Stephen, Jesus, you know, look at that. In the midst of persecution, Peter still wrote to the churches and said, hey, regard those in authority. They were being persecuted. They were being persecuted. They were being persecuted. When they were gathered together and they were flocked in Acts 3, Acts 4, the Bible says, Abu rejoiced that they counted worthy of being suffering alongside Christ. They went into their company and they raised their voice and prayed. And look at what happened. It says the hidden rich, it says the earthly kings, it says the imagined vain things against the anointed, your son Jesus, your holy child Jesus Christ. He now says, therefore, Lord. Then he says, cause there to be what? Signs and wonders. That we may have what? Boldness to preach. He didn't say go Pharaoh to joke with Kwara government. He didn't say that. They didn't say that. They didn't say that. Peter didn't say, hey, I know I have said I will give ourselves to the word of God and we'll give ourselves to the word of God and pray. But this is not the time for the word of God. This is not the time for the word of God. This is not the time for the word of God. Everybody carry placards. Track media team, oh yeah? Say no to Christian Life Matter. Christian Life Matter. They will do nationwide protests. Am I saying that is wrong or evil? I'm not going to explore that, but I'm saying that we have a biblical way that Christians handle grievance. And sometimes when you don't now do what the public is saying, you are now seen as the evil one. When you now stick with the word, you are seen as the evil one. No. I told someone, I said, our church, we don't protest. We don't. I'm not saying don't go, but our church, we don't protest. 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 No. We preach the gospel. We preach the gospel, and in the natural. Now, I didn't say that. When you have a show of grievances in the place of war, you say, no. Now, I said that to mobilize church members to go and join protest. No, we do evangelism. Is it clear? Say, pastor, this association in the city, we are doing this, we need 50 people from you to come and do it. Like a king. Any level minister. Are you Jesus? No. We pray. Prayer still works. Prayer still what? Works. We pray. When they cast Paul and Silas in the prison, there was what they were doing. Go and check it. Check the entire scriptures. We pray. We pray so that we have boldness to say the things we ought to say. The word of God. We have signs and wonders. See, the most stony man, he gets some signs where he goes see. He does go, his heart goes shift. As stubborn as Belshazzar was, when that finger came on the wall, the guy was the same guy that said, go to their temple and bring all the stuff. In the form macho man. Go to the temple, go and bring all the whatever. Bring the gold, bring everything. that your father no do. They can't bring it. By the time the finger came on the wall, he was shivering. The Bible says on his seat, his knees was what? Was shivering. That was Belshazzar. Are we together? Read Daniel 6. Are we together, church? We pray. We preach. And we live exemplary what? Lives. That means when we find ourselves in positions where we can make policies, we don't refrain. And that's why Christians should grow up and be diligent in their natural adventures and academics. In every field, you can have a in every area, you can have a field, what's it called, engagement or an office engagement. Are we together? It's okay. I mean, field engagements are fine, but so I was talking to someone sometimes. I said, why not just pursue the office niche of this area? Because sitting down there, I feel that you will be able to change more lives with policies. A day, a week, a month in your office will transform more lives than maybe a year on the field. You will be able to enforce things that will change the lives of both the caregivers and those that are receiving the care. Glory to God forevermore. Are we learning something? Alright, and I don't have much time. I have a lot to say, but I don't have much time, so we'll continue some other time. So, citizenship. I'm a good citizen. I'm a good citizen. Are we together? We pray for our leaders. What you pray about, you hardly complain about. It just works that way. That what you pray about, you hardly complain about. Why then do I pray and I find myself complaining? Check what you were doing, whether it was prayer. Sometimes we complain before God, thinking it's prayer. We are complaining. We are complaining. We come to the place of prayer. What we did for the last 2-3 hours is complain. God doesn't listen to complaints. He answers prayers. Are we together? So prayer must ascend before God on behalf of our leaders. Prayer is how I protect relationships, like I said, from vanity. Look at Colossians 3 as we begin to close. Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, look at 18. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. Are we learning God's word? Alright. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Are we there? Verse 18 now. He says, can we read together, everyone? Want to go? Wives, So, does God recognize Christian marriage? Does he instruct it? So, can I be a Christian in marriage? He says, love your what? He says, submit unto your own husbands. As it is what? Faith in the what? In the Lord. Did you see that? He says this is faith. This is faith. This is proper. This is faith before the Lord. Submission. So, submission in marriage, is it a cultural thing or God's word? Answer the question. Answer the question. Cultural thing or God's word? God's word. Don't say, he says in Yoruba that when he got ready, see, quit those things. You are a Christian. Act on God's word. Are we together? Act on God's word. God says, I forgive. God is now saying that, what if they now do something I cannot forgive? What if they are now taking advantage of my forgiveness? They are taking advantage of my forgiveness. He will not become unforgiving because of you. He is who he is. He forgives. What I'm saying, does it look like, it's not as easy like that now? Does it feel like that? It has to. That's why it's God's word. It has to come at what you are not used to do. It has to. It's as easy as that. Yeah, that's why it's God's word. That's why you have to pray. Then you'll be able to do it. Because prayer makes your heart to burn with passion. When there's passion, burden suddenly is lifted away. What is difficult is no more difficult. When there's passion. When you do some things for love, some things you can never do because they are. They are. Because you love the person, you just find yourself doing it. I was talking to someone some weeks ago. He said they are traveling from a particular city to go and see his fiancé in another city. And he did that consistently. Can you travel to those areas? Where? Me? No. Say, what happened? Because the love and affection was there. So he didn't see the load, the burden. So when there is love and affection, burden, anytime you feel like something is becoming a struggle to do for somebody, is a reflection of where is the love and affection there? Did you get it? What? Did you get it? All right. So check that. So look at that. He says, wives. Two. Notice he didn't say, look at this. He didn't say, wives, submit to husbands. Notice he didn't say that. He says, wives, submit to your own. Again, Paul is showing us that man is not the head of what? Women. Don't miss that. The husband is the head of his own what? Wife. Did you get it? Did you get it? Man is not the head of what? Women. So you say, even the Bible says man is the head of woman. No. It's your Bible that you wrote that says that. The man is the head of his own what? Wife. For the sake of the home. Because a body with two heads is a beast. Did you get it? And a body without a head is nobody. Are we there? So, in the home, for the sake of order, he says submit. That means submission is not weakness. Submission does not imply that you are the lesser part. No. And if you are married, we all know who has the power in the home. Are we together? I leave that. Are we together? So, submission doesn't mean that you are the weaker one. And the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. No! Don't say that again. The Bible did not say that. Go to that text and read it well in context. Are we together? Go and read it in context and situate that statement in the midst of what the writer was saying. Not what you want to think. That's not what he said. So, he says, wives, to your own words, husband. So, men are not head of women. So, say, anywhere men and women have something to do, and all of that, then all the women should. Someone is resuming work in the morning. You are not her boss. You are not her boss. And she resumes work, and you expect her to do like this. Can I say, call your guy? As who? You are not a boss. And you are not a husband. Are we together? But do we have a culture of honor, love, and respect? Yes. So there is a way we must still demonstrate honor, love, and respect. But you are not demanding it because your mindset is patriarchal. So a woman should kneel to you as who? And the women also don't say, we don't kneel to anybody. We don't kneel to anybody. Who be you there? No. Love, honor, and what? Respect. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? But a man doesn't say, I'm the head of. So you are the cock. The other one are the fowls. No, 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 no. That's nonsense. Because in some people's mindset, that's what's there. You want me? Is there a kuko? You are not a kuko. This is male and female. This is the image of God. Is it clear? Is it clear? In relationships, they are not the he good. No, they're a human being. You're a human being. Think like a human being. Say, I am the lion there. I got Oga. You are not a lion, no. I know a lion. So any small thing, you have released your voice. You tell a woman you lack respect. As who? If you are saying you lack respect, there must be a basis for it. But don't say you lack respect simply because you feel that you are addressing a woman. Are we together? Now, at the other side, the reverse is the case. You see some women too, feministic. They are feminist. Now, you don't have to be in the UK or in the US, because those are highly feminist environments. A friend of mine was talking to me I think it was earlier this week, and was explaining something that happened. I said, only we. I told him that. I said, only we were lying. Because I know those environments. I said, would you not bear? You think you are in Lagos, Ikorodu? You can't walk. If you like, turn yourself to a biro and let the judge write with you. You will not win. Remove your forehead and give it. You will not win. That is the society. That is the opposite. It is still not the image of God. Now, you don't have to be there to demonstrate that trait. The issue with those environments is that it is now enforced by the law. But you will find a lot of that culture, feminist mindset, in a lot of our ladies and women here. It is also wrong. So how does God's earth look like? With man seeing woman the way he ought to, with the woman seeing the man the way he ought to, that is how the church looks like. One dysfunctionally parented person came around the church and said, I mean spiritually parented, he said, how can a lady be leading the meeting? I said, so go all yellow shubu. If he lays on you, may you not fall down. What do you mean by that nonsense? How can a lady be leading the service? Who should lead the service? A gorilla? Are we together? No, who should lead the service? You can't even say that where Jesus is. You will read all of Old Testament. Are we together? So is there wives for me to who? Your whole husband. Let's read on. I want to close. Let's read on. He says, husband, love what? Your wife. So do we have the image of God's spousal relationships? Yes. And be not what? Bitter against what? Against them. So it means that, okay. So, I didn't hear anything. But it says, and be not bitter against them. And why is there that one? Let them love your wives and just move on. Why is there, be not bitter against them? So does that mean that? So in verse 20, it says, children. How many of you are children here? You are a child to somebody. Can I see your hand? A child to somebody. Now, again, he now mentions father, okay? But no, he didn't mention mother. But we're going to see now. He says, obey your what? Parent. Now, Who is the parent? Your parents is not the people that gave birth to you. Are we together? Are we together? Though they are your parents. Then they say, ah, so who are they? Don't miss them. Parent in Bible language is somebody that is responsible for your sustenance. It could be an elder sibling. In an African home, it could be your firstborn breadwinner. He's a parent. He is a parent. Parent is an office. The one that executes that office. You don't say, but my father has gone to be with the Lord. My mother, I don't know where she is. See. Anyone who carries out that oversight over you, nurtures you with attention, care, and material supply is a parent. So it need not be your biological. Are we together? Are we together? It need not be your biological whatever. Notice that that was what Paul was saying Onesimus will do towards Philemon. Philemon was not his biological father. Go and read the book of Philemon. You see what I'm talking about. So you could be an elder sibling, you could be a guardian, could be a grandparent. Whatever relationship. But the one who tends to you, your need, provides care, nurtures you with attention, care, and material resource. Are we together? And look at this. Also, you know, you also grow in the natural. That means there's a point you get to that you don't need the sustenance, the material care again. Are we together? In the way it was supplied, look at this. The fellow who made it available at that time that you needed it, the fellow who filled the office is the parent. Is it clear? Is it clear? So he says, to do what? To obey in what? All things. In all these things. For this is well pleasing unto what? Unto the Lord. Again, the word pleasure comes in. It is pleasurable. So when I obey my parents, I am pleasing the Lord. I am pleasing the Lord. Read on. Fathers, provoke not your what? To anger, lest the what? Notice that this is not African. This is not African. Fathers do what? Provoke not your what? Then if you read it today, it is fathers. Are we together? I want to see. Are we together? It says, provoke not your children to anger. Then look at this. The next thing, 22, it says what? Servant. So let me ask a question. Is there ministry in my marriage? Is there ministering to the Lord in my marriage? Is there ministering the things of God to others in my marriage? What about parentage? Is there ministering to the Lord in parentage? Notice it says, look at it. It says, when you do this, it is what? Pleasing to the Lord. See, that statement, pleasing to the Lord, was taken from the Old Testament sacrifices when it is offered to the Lord. It is from that narrative that the New Testament is writing that this thing is a sweet smell, is like a sweet smelling savour or flavour unto the Lord. So he says that the same way the sacrifice of faith in the Old Testament, you know, God finds pleasure in it. It ministers to him. He says, when you honor your husbands, you are ministering to the Lord. When you love your wives, you are actually ministering to who? The Lord. Parents. Parentage can be ministering to who? The Lord. The way I parent Then it says, children, the way you interact with your parents can also become a what? A form of ministering. ING. Ministering to the Lord. Are we there? Do you catch it? Do you catch it? Thank you. So he says, servants do what? 22, everybody. We need to close. Servants do what? Obey what? In all things your what? Your masters. So are these Christians who are servants? Notice it didn't say servants. Why are you still serving now? He didn't say that. So Paul is saying that 48 laws of power is not the Christian. That's not Christian. That's not the Christian. Is it clear? That's not the Christian. That's the world. It's a worldly philosophy. 48 laws of power. That's not the Christian. That's not the Christian. I saw a pastor reading 48 laws of power to pastor his church. You are not pastor in the church. That's not the manual is the scriptures. And when you look into the scriptures, you see that as a pastor, you are not better than the flock. You are not best amongst equals. You are only first amongst equals. You are not best amongst equals. You are first amongst equals. And the first is because you were chosen. And you were chosen for a reason. Refuse to stand in the office for why you were chosen. You're a waste. Chosen to do what? To model. So before you lead people to pray, you pray first. Before you tell people to study, you study first. Before you tell people to give, you give. The pastor is literally the model Christian. He's not a celebrity. There's nothing to celebrate when you see the life of a pastor. He is the major yoke bearer in the assembly. The major one. It's not something you see you jump at. You won't run from it either. The second is a prayer. Are we together? Are we together, church? So he speaks about parents. Parents. He says, don't provoke your children. So where do we go from here? Look at this. It means that God will judge my conduct as a husband. God will judge how I treat my wife. As a wife, the Lord is looking at how I treat my husband. He wants me to bear his image in that marital relationship. Are we together? Are we together? He will judge it. He will judge it. He will judge how you go after other women. He will judge it. The Lord will judge it. How you go after other men, married in the home, going after other men, the Lord will judge it. He sees it. He will judge it. So part of what God, part of the reason why people will lose reward on the day of the Lord is in how they handle those relationships. So we minister to the Lord. I minister to the Lord in my relationships, in the way I handle them. Are we together, church? Double dating is not natural for a Christian. It is immoral. It is evil. It is evil. It is what? You are an idol worshiper because you are worshiping your emotions. You have to worship the Lord. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness is what? Is the fruit of the Spirit. Say, ah, Pastor, is a backup plan. Backup key you gave. What are you backing up? Something even that you have not formed, you are backing up. Are you a form or team backup? I'm a Christian. Is it clear? Say, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. A Christian is reliable. Imagine we can't rely on God. Prayer has lost its power. The whole world prays today, including non-Christians, solely on one fact: God is reliable. Eh? He's reliable even to those that he's not pleased with. Reliability is a Christian thing. Relationships. I am reliable. I am reliable. Are we together, church? So God will judge. He says, servants, obey your what? Masters. Obey your masters. Today, the word is employee-employer. That means God will judge your conduct in your job post, in your office. He will judge it. That is what we call the fear of the Lord. He will judge it. God will judge my conduct as a staff of a company. He will. He will. It is mentioned in the word. Are we together? How about the way I attend to my academics? God will judge it. He will judge it. First of all, he expects you to see that whatever position you are in is a privilege of his. How are you using it? How are you using it? Being literate and learned is a privilege. Go and ask people who are in environments that they can never access education. Being a parent of a child is a privilege. Go and ask women who have never been able to bring forth a child. Then you will discover that being a parent is a privilege. Being an employer of an organization is a privilege. That's why I say love your neighbor. That means the employer is loving the what? The employee. So you will give him the wage when it is what? Due. Because love him as yourself. You are not different from your employee. It is opportunity, the grace of God, and the gift of time that has made you different. Glory to God forevermore. How will I attend to my work roles? How I properly parent and steward relationships in the home? What kind of husband are you? The Lord will judge it. How I pastor the flock? The Lord will judge it. Are we together? So those relationships is not just you and them. It is you and them and the Lord. Every relationship is at least three people. You. Every human relationship is at least three people. You and the person or persons and who? The Lord. Is that understood? So this is God's word. Say this is God's word. Servants, verse 22. Employers, carry out your work roles. Are we together? He says, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with what? Eye service. As men pleasers. But the singleness of heart, fearing who? Look at this. He says, fearing God. Yet, he says, your work. A student on campus. A lecturer on campus. You're a lecturer on campus. Let students be safe in your care. God will judge it. Don't let them pay to pass exams. Saying to pass exams, you are going to have to sleep with me. Are you mad? You must be crazy. Employer, HR. HR. You give her the job. He said, no, you have to do this to get the job. You must be crazy. God's going to pull you off from there. Irrecoverable. He's going to pull you off from there. He's going to pull you off from there. Because God forgives. But when evil persists, it is love to remove evil from the midst of good. He will take you away. God will take the person away from there. Irrecoverable. Praise God. So look at that. You have an assignment in your relationships. You have an assignment. So I must ask a question as I close. How well have I managed my relationships? How well have my relationships been a worship of God? Are we together? Has it been a worship of God? Has my relationships been a worship of God? I'm feeling that I might touch this subject again one more time. Hallelujah. Has my relationships been what? A worship of God. We have an assignment. You have an assignment. A parent has an assignment. A sibling. Are you an elder sibling? The younger one. You have an assignment towards the fellow. You have an assignment. And your assignment is not to just send money. No. You have the duty to ensure that person grows in the Lord. You have an assignment to mirror God's image. Child to parent, you have an assignment. You have an assignment, colleagues. In the office, you have an assignment. Are we together, church? Are we together? You have an assignment. You have a ministry. You have a contribution to people as you function in God's image. Are we here? I want to close here, so I'm looking for a point to just close. Servant, employee, what do you do in your organization? Are you a front desk officer? Or are you into marketing, logistics? Are you a teacher? Are you an HRO? Whatever. What do you do in your organization? Security? What else? What do you do in your organization? You have a ministry there. What do you do in school? Do you just take lectures? Or are you an exco on campus? Are you part of a body or organization? A student, are you an exco or some kind of official in your faculty, in your department? You have a ministry there. In your home. Are you a husband, a wife? You can't be both though. Are we together? Are you a husband or a wife? Are you a sibling in your home? What roles? What roles? Are you an elder sibling? Are you a younger one? You have a ministry there. In your home, in your workshop, in your school, at work, on vacation. You're on school break. Where are you? Are you traveling abroad? Are you on a ministry trip? Are you on a ministry team? Are you on a business trip? Are you on a business team? What do you do in the world? You have a ministry there to be an example. We don't do this. It's okay. We don't do this. We don't do this. Maybe I'll talk about this again on Thursday. I'll talk about offices. Because we have a lot of people in the corporate world here. We have pharmacists here. We have engineers here. We have doctors here. Are we together? They'll talk about that. The image of God in the office space, in the workplace. We also have politicians here, though. They are boarding. Are we together? Boarding politicians. Amen. The image of God. It is fine. Do what you want to do. Get into politics. Is it clear? They'll say, politics. Get into politics if you want to. Lord is with you there. Is it clear? But you must make up your mind to be God's image there. Are you in the academics? Are you an academia? You are God's image. In the home, what kind of husband are you? What kind of wife are you? What kind of brother are you? What kind of sister are you? What kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? Are you reliable? Are you trustworthy? Can others rely on you? Do you love? We're going to talk about that, you know, maybe next meeting or sometimes later on. I just move it into a future time. Are we together? But look at this. Every Christian, we are going to be judged by what we do in the home. How we treat our parents. How we treat our spouses. The Lord is going to judge it. Not just what we do in the church. The church is not where to be a Christian. We're a Christian in the world. We're a Christian in the world. Christian online, Christian offline, Christian on Twitter. I don't bear false witness. No, I don't. I don't share something that I have not verified. That is bearing false witness. Your social media platforms, there is a ministry there. There are people who listen to you. There are people who watch you. If you are an influencer online, you have a ministry there. You have a ministry everywhere. So it says, pursue love with all men, which is your holiness, without which no man can what? See the Lord. Say, people see the Lord. Before me, I close. Do men see the Lord? Do men see the Lord? Who are those men? Your husband. Does your husband see the Lord? Does your wife see the Lord? Does your parents, do they see the Lord? Your siblings, do they what? See the Lord. Men, see the Lord through me this year. In the name of the Son of God. I bear God's image. By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the comfort of the Spirit of God. I'm encouraged to be the Christian in my place of work, in my family, in my neighborhood. I'm a Christian, not just in the church service. I'm a Christian in the world. I'm a Christian in the exam hall. Exam hall. Exam hall. IGMB. Exam hall. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. CBT. CBT. Exam hall. You're a Christian. You're a Christian in your project works. You are a Christian. The Lord will judge it. You're a Christian on NYSC. You are a Christian. You have a ministry. Is it clear? I will trust God's power. This is January. That through February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January 2027, you will be God's image. In all of our fears, we are going to model God's image. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for our employments. Pray for employment points. Part of serving God's plan in an employment organization is to pray for the organization. Do you pray for your boss? Have you fasted for your boss? No. Have you fasted for your boss at work? The challenge that your business is having, have you fasted? Have you taken it up to fast and to pray that it will be resolved? When the team is gathering and everyone is gloomy and it seems as though the company is going under, going bankrupt, and they can't pay, probably they have to shed off some staffs. What do you say in those meetings? Do you have the words of faith? I remember a friend reached me yesterday. Yesterday, we do the same kind of business. His office is around Taiwo. He just reached out to me. You know, he just said, hey, he doesn't know I pastor in church still now, okay? Because I don't put that forth. Are we together? He says, hey, brother. He says, thank you for. So he referred to something that happened sometime last year. You know, he had done something that he didn't like, and then you had given him something to work with, and he just, the way he handled you, and I didn't like it. So by the time I came back, I actually came back to show him fire. You know, the last time I came, I said, I wanted to, because we're in the same association and all that. And then by the time I got there, when I looked at him, I didn't need anyone to tell me that he looked terribly ill.
So as I walked in, I parked the car downstairs and then I climbed the staircase, the complex, you know, Taiwo, the outdoor building. As I got in there, the moment I got in, I saw him. I said, ah, when I was close, I was the only one that I was saved. I'll say this one for that. I said, ah, God. By the time I got inside, I saw this guy look pale and lean and thin. As I looked at him, there was someone sitting by him now with an alpha. I could see. I don't even know if he's born against him now. I mean, that particular fellow. I don't know. And I just looked at him and said, ah. I said, what's wrong? This and this. And he said, ah, that is. He didn't even tell me he had been ill. You know, but that wasn't the reason to not do that. It wasn't a major work. I just switched. I didn't pray for him as to minister to the sick. He was in the office and the atmosphere was not. But I just got closer to him and I put my hands on him and I spoke certain words. He actually told me that he held on to those words for about 6 to 7 months. And that is way, 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 way better. The way he sounded on phone yesterday, I said, he actually said, activities don't resume. That means he's fine now. And he said the only thing he could hold on to at that moment were the words I spoke. Now, if you ask me what I said then, I can't remember. But I know how I speak sometimes. When I want to minister to you, but maybe I can't do it out of this. He said, no, those are the, he said, those words that I spoke. And I said, I thank you very much that this and this, that I got better, that I believe that it was those words that got me better. Me, I knew what happened. The power of God entered his flesh. But the words I spoke were vehicles of God's power. Well, I think that's actually how the earth becomes heaven. Are we together? That's how we express love. The words we speak. Speak words of healing. Amen. Words of healing. In that organization, what kind of words do you speak? And mix your colleagues. Do you all complain about your boss? Or do you have words of faith? Words that calm the storm. We trust God that through the year, hallelujah, that's a closing session, that we are going to have the power of the Holy Spirit walk in our words and walk in our conduct. If you have been blessed this morning, just lift up your hands and give God's praise for his word. Give God's praise. If you have felt instructed, yes, I felt directed, led, charged, counseled, exhorted, give him praise for his word right there where you are.